Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and good morning, everyone. I'm Evangelist Tanita here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And we want to welcome you to this Saturday morning broadcast. Today is December the 17th, 2022. We continue our series of understanding the art of prayer with our question being today, why do we go through the fiery furnace? And the verses or chapters we will be using today will be Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 30, and Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Rabbi John?
Yes, thank you very much, Evangelist Anita. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for these verses. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your anointing. We ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression that we have committed, as well as those who have committed against us and our family. Father, our desire is to hear your word so that we may learn you, so that we may fellowship with you, so that we may be intimate with you in the same manner in which you desire to be intimate with us through your word. Help us to understand you better so that we will fellowship with you in the manner in which you desire. We give all praises, all glory, and honor to you right now. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Well, Evangelist Anita, this particular one is probably going to be anyone that's been a Christian for a while, anyone that's been a believer for a while, anyone that's been a New Testament believer for a while, inwardly, if not externally, has asked this question, has wanted to know why. Why do we have to go through the fiery furnace? And it is an element of keeping our prayer life strong, but it's also an element of promotion. It's the way in which God, yeah, has designed it so that we can be promoted into a relationship, a pure relationship with him. Now we're going to take a look at a very familiar passage of scripture in the New Testament that you've already shared, and that's in Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, most of you probably are aware of that passage, and you're aware of the fact that Yeshua fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But it wasn't until after the fast, after he accomplished the fast, that the adversary came after him, that the adversary tempted him, that the adversary sent him through a trial. It wasn't until then that, and this is important to know, that the Holy Spirit sent him through a test. Now, the trials of our faith, the temptation of our faith, those come from the adversary. They come from Satan himself when he tries to lure us in to worshiping him. There's two areas that he wants from us. He wants us to replace Yah with him. He wants to be our Yah. He wants to be our God. And he wants to replace our worship of Yah with the worship of him. We even see that today. We see the difference between those who are worshiping Yah and those who are worshiping Satan. Those who fellowship with Yah and call Yah their God. Those that call Satan their God. Lucifer. But we will read this passage again with the understanding of the fact that very few understand or even can comprehend, to be honest, why would the Holy Spirit test us? Now, we know that the Father allows that test to happen so that he could test our love for him. Faith worketh by love. So the Father is testing our love. Do we really love him like we say we do? When I told my wife when I first got married that I loved her, unfortunately, from a Christian perspective, that seems to be enough. But from a Hebraic perspective, that's only the beginning. From a Hebraic perspective, what comes out of your mouth has to agree with the actions over time that you do. Let me say that again. What comes out of your mouth, the profession or confession of your faith, has to agree with the actions that you present to yourself, to others, and to God over time. We're coming up to our 40th wedding anniversary, the big 4-0. And I had to do a check. I normally do a check anyway, but I had to do a check to say, do I still love her the way I did when I first met her, when I first said I do? And you know what shocked me? The answer was no. I wasn't prepared for that, no, until I began to get with the Lord to figure out, why is it no? And the Lord helped me to realize why it was no. It was no because now it's so much sweeter and so much better than I could ever imagine. Because we allowed God to be a part of our marriage. And in those times when it was difficult or almost impossible for me and difficult and almost impossible for her, the Holy Spirit came in. The Father came in and began to do his work on me, began to do his work on her. And the love that we started with, which is grand and wonderful as it really was, it was not enough. Persecutions that we faced, not just with each other, but the persecutions we faced as a couple, it began to fuse us together. The persecutions began to fuse us together. So even though this is talking about prayer, persecutions that you and I go through, that the Father allows, are to fuse us together with him, to increase the love, which has to increase the faith. And not just the faith as in a word, verb, but faith as in faithfulness. When we did our vows, we said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that's something that Yeshua said as the husband to us as the bride of Christ. It's not in his vocabulary. It is not in his vocabulary. So what is in his vocabulary? That you will go through persecution, especially as you're being blessed of him. As you're being blessed of him, persecution will come. Persecution comes from the evil one. Promotion comes from the evil one. If I can withstand the persecution, then I get promoted by the evil one. The other thing that's important to understand before we get started, in the persecution, the angel of the Lord, the incarnate Christ, Yeshua himself, is with us because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But one of the things that we don't understand is when the persecution gets high, when it gets hard, is when he shows up the strongest in our life. When we get the weak, when we begin to feel weak, like Paul says, then am I strong. Why? Because the Lord comes in and takes over. Because I don't get myself in the way, but I allow him to take over. Allow him to have his way. And his way is always the victorious way that we should go. But I have Evangelist Anita read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And when you read it, understand, when she reads it, understand the two areas that Satan tries his best to circumvent our relationship with Yah. One, by total replacement, and two, by the adoration or the worship. If I'm worrying, if I'm complaining, or if I am just all caught up in the negative, then I'm worshiping the negative. I'm not worshiping the one that would cause me to overcome. Evangelist Anita, would you go ahead and read that, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, please?
Yes. King James Version, Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up unto the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands ye shall bear, and in their hands ye they shall bear ye be up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things shall I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Rabbi John.
So you see, not only was the devil trying to come against the words of God, but he was also coming against the relationship of God, as well as the worship of God. Now, and I'm sure that Evangelist Tanita caught this, especially in the King James, with each test where the tempter came to tempt him, he passed the test, and the tempter had to promote him. He said he brought him up. He carried him up. He continued to go up in glory. Not just up in position, but up in glory. Because when the tempter could not win, then that area, that realm of influence that the tempter had control over before Yeshua was given to Yeshua. So if it was given to Yeshua, then the self same thing happens to you when you find yourself in the fiery furnace. And it's not, we're not talking about the furnace of disobedience. We're talking about the furnace of persecution. There are two different types of furnaces here. The furnace of disobedience comes with a curse because of something that we or you are not doing. The furnace of persecution comes because of a righteous stand, and that's because you're doing what is right. We need to make sure in our prayer life and in our time with Yah and in our time on this earth that we totally differentiate between those two and recognize when those two situations are happening to us so that we don't get the two crossed and intermingled. Because the things that I'm telling you to do when you are in a state of persecution will not work when you're in a state of disobedience. Nor will the things that I tell you to do in the state of disobedience work if you're actually in a state of persecution. Now we're going to go to our last passage of Scripture, which is a long passage, so we may not get to all of it, but it's in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 8. It goes from verse 8 to verse 30. So if we don't fulfill all of the reading, you need to read this at home. You need to put this before you and put everything aside and begin to read this. And you need to understand what's happening here. Now, most of you know the story, but the problem is we know the story, and therefore we don't read the fullness of the passage. And we think because we have recalled the story, that the story that we now know has not changed. But what has changed is our interpretation of what that story is saying. For example, the three Hebrew boys did not bow when the music was being played pertaining to the golden image that was created by Nebuchadnezzar. In some storylines, individuals recall the individuals that the officers told on the three Hebrew boys, which they did. But then as they told on the three Hebrew boys that Nebuchadnezzar gave the three Hebrew boys an opportunity to bow. Now, one of the very good ways to lose the full grasp of what the scriptures actually say is if you watch a lot of VeggieTales. Because in the VeggieTales depiction, they play the music again and they don't bow. The problem with that, when you read the passage of Scripture, the three Hebrew boys, not only do they tell the king in a respectful way that they're not going to bow and they're not, but they hit those areas that we were talking about in Matthew, the same areas that Jesus was talking about, that Yahushua was talking about with Satan, with Hasatan. And that was, we're not going to worship your God, and our God is God. So we build a relationship with our God, and we worship our God. Now, they also made a statement, and that statement was something like this. The statement was basically, you know, we don't need to wait or go through the ordeal of you playing the music and then us bowing, because we've already made a decision. We already have an answer for you. And the answer is, we will not bow to your God, and we will not worship your God. And if our God so decides not to deliver us, we still will not bow to your God, and we still will not worship your God. Now, that's a drastic difference between the VeggieTales and some other storylines pertaining to that. They had already made up in their mind it wasn't going to happen. So they were trying to save the king any more embarrassment in front of thousands upon thousands of people. Now, the three Hebrew boys weren't just some Hebrew boys that were in the official ranks of the king. They, all three of them, were over the whole province of Babylon. Now, the province of Babylon was the actual center, epicenter. So that means that the officers, you know, and administrators that went and told on the three Hebrew boys were subservient to, they were employed under the three Hebrew boys. So they were telling on their employer in order to get their own promotion going, which totally backfired. But as Evangelist Nita reads this, what I want you to really focus on is the fact that they hit those two areas that Satan is trying so desperately to get you and I to violate. That is one of the main ways that you can figure out if you're having a problem, if this is a persecution or a disobedience, because we need to know the difference. We need to know the difference so that as we pray differently. Evangelist Anita, go ahead, and you can do this in the Amplified if you desire.
Okay. Let me get the Amplified.
And I'll do my best not to interrupt you.
Okay, no problem. So the Amplified reads in Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain men of Chaldean descent came near and brought malicious accusations against the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sounds of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, dulcimer, or bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And that whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed and set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men were brought before the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "True, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden calf which I have set up. Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, or bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made very good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast at once into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who can deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, it is not necessary for us to answer you on this point. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he shall deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and his facial expression was changed to antagonism against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he commanded that the furnace should be heated 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. And he commanded the strongest men to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these three men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics or undergarments, their turbans, and their other clothing, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame and sparks from the fire killed those men who handled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king saw and was astounded, and he jumped up and said to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered, "True, O king." He answered, "Behold, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the son of the God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the deputies, governors, and the king's counselors gathered around together and saw these men, that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their garments scorched or changed in color or condition.
nor had even the smell of smoke clung to them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who believed in, trusted in, and relied on him. And they set aside the king's command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, and language that speaks anything amidst God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses be made a dunghill. For there is no other god who can deliver in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Bye-bye, John.
Wow. Evangelist Anita, what were some of the key points that really electrified you, really began to cause you to say, you know what? I've read the story and I've read the story, but I have not read the story.
What I liked was their confidence. And when they were told what they did and do and called before the king in question, they weren't trembling, they weren't moved. They let the king know directly that they're not going to compromise, whether God saved them or not. They were not going to do what he commanded that nation to do. They had no fear. They had no doubt. They had no unbelief. It was very clear. And they were willing to accept whatever their God decided to do for them.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's something that when you look at it, you have to realize that they had no ownership of things in this world. They had no desire to be a Lot's wife and turn back and look at all the things. They had no desire to be a Lot and find themselves in a Sodom and Gomorrah, even though Lot got promoted to one of the heads of the gate. They knew, like you said, who their Yah was and whether he decided or not to deliver them. They had decided not to leave him, not to forsake him, not to be wishy-washy, like you said before. So the two areas that help us to understand the difference between the fiery furnace of disobedience and the fiery furnace pertaining to persecution is how strong is our relationship with God, and who do we find ourselves worshiping, especially when the fiery furnace gets 7 times hotter. When the fiery furnace of our life gets 7 times hotter, who do we find ourselves worshiping? That's a question that we are going to have to answer. That's a question that we're going to have to ensure that through relationship building, it will always be the right answer. So a part of my prayer life, a part of our prayer life, a part of our art, adoration, request, and thanksgiving, to have that kind of relationship that they had when it was 7 times hotter than what it normally would have been. It didn't matter. Their focus, their mindset, their true devotion, their love was in their God. Their worship was in their God. We're going to stop there because that's much to think about and pray about. That's much to really get before the Lord and make sure that we understand the difference between the fiery furnace of disobedience, which with it brings a curse, and the fiery furnace of persecution, with it brings promotion. Father, we thank you and glorify your name. We thank you that you are bearing our souls on the altar so that we can begin to look at what you see and begin to examine what you examine. Begin to diagnose what you diagnose in us. Let us not see what we want to see, but let us see that which must be dealt with in our personal lives. Help us to find ourselves embracing the fiery furnace of that which blesses you. Not the disobedient one, but the one that also brings with it persecution. We glorify your name and magnify you, Father, in the precious name of Yahushua. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.